truth.
As the world watches and listens in horror, the peaceful pro-democracy demonstration in China comes to a violent and bloody end.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Wolves hiding nearby, whispering, do or die. Around me, you say your last good night while I
there is another very important phase of warfare. It has as its target not the body, but the mind of the enemy.
The target of psychological warfare is against the enemy's mind.
It is words and ideas.
Ammunition used by Cywar.
Its mission is to influence the thoughts of the enemy soldiers, and at the same time
is expected and encouraged to study foreign languages and the social sciences such as history, economics, and sociology. He must have a broad and sympathetic understanding of all phases of human experience.
Gripping at my skin, the walls of night closing.
But the use of this force as an integral part of combat has now taken on new form.
As I wait to say my last goodbye.
These are the Cywar soldiers.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, April 24th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. How wild and dystopic? Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. I think that's probably about the best that we can say. And we'll talk about some of it today. Hour one, I'm going to call Total War. Hour two, I'm going to call Deus Ex Machina, the AI deception. And we're really not going to dive down the rabbit hole of the AI deception as much as we could. But what I really hope to do is just scratch a little bit at the surface of the level of deception. And I think... what should concern us most, perhaps, is that it seems more and more that AI is really just for deception. It seems that, increasingly, it seems that one of the primary functions of this thing that is called AI is not the betterment of mankind or civilization or life on Earth or any such thing. It seems that it is geared toward deception. And so, you know, that's kind of interesting. Makes me think, you know, of to subdue the enemy without fighting is the acme of skill, Sun Tzu. The best that I can do, you know, how crazy I think is, in simple terms, a satanic death cult has the world in a stranglehold, locked in a hypnotic trance. That is about as simple as it can be put. We got a lot of ground to cover today. I mean, I could tell you about the headlines. You can go read them over at RBN. Some of them, we're gonna scratch at the surface of the TruthStream Media video that I mentioned last week. When seeing and hearing is no longer believing. But, you know, you can watch more of it and see crazy stuff. But what I really want to do, again, is instead of talk about all of the weird, seemingly anomalous things that are happening around AI, it's a bait and switch. I've said that before. That's what it really is. I want to demystify the AI stuff. We'll do that in an hour or two. It is not what it's made out to be. What is, you know, the sales pitch is this is AI. What it really is that is trying to do all of these terrifying things is demonic presence, the demonic infiltration of the machine, so to speak. Anyway, we have a lot of ground to cover. We have nearly 56 minutes, I think, worth of clips. Everything's long-form content these days. So without, you know, can we do it? Nearly 56 minutes. We have 90 minutes in which to do it. Can we do it? I don't know. Let's dive right in and see. First up, Klaus Schwab, the World Government Summit is one of these, when I say the things hatched out of the jaws of the reticulating, you know, the alien's jaws, like the movie Alien, the reticulated jaws that come out. There's more and more and more and more. The World Government Summit is one of those kinds of things, and it's an offshoot of the World Economic Forum. So they just held the 2023 session about a month ago. And so Klaus Schwab thinks that AI will make globalist masters of the universe, or, you know, the one worlders, I should say. So can we play that clip?
Minister, I wrote in 2015 the book, The Fourth Industrial Revolution, and I mentioned 23 or 24 technologies which will change the world, like crypto and so on and so on. The book was considered science fiction. All those technologies have become reality, and there are new technologies. And I would say we are in the second minute, or whatever we want to call, we are at the beginning. When you look at it, at technology transformation, it usually takes place in the terms of an S-curve. And we are just now where we move into the exponential phase. And I agree. Artificial intelligence, but not only artificial intelligence, but also the metaverse, near space technologies, and I could go on, synthetic biology. Our life in 10 years from now will be completely different, very much affected, and who masters those technologies in some way will be the master of the world.
I don't think I get this distinct impression these guys are not hyperbolic when they say things like that. Mr. you know, Dr. Evil himself, Mr. Bond, arch supervillain. Anyway, next up, an excerpt from James Corbett's episode 441, Your Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare. Can we do that real quick? Can we squeeze that in, please?
Given the events of recent years, even the sleepiest of the sleepy now realize that we are in a period of economic warfare. This war, too, has its conventional aspects. On the 2D board, we've seen the NATO empire launch its weapons of financial destruction at Russia, and, exactly as predicted, it has resulted in the consolidation of a convenient geopolitical boogeyman bloc and a gigantic loss of faith in the international monetary system itself. And, also as predicted, it has supplied the problem and reaction needed for the technocrats to present their predetermined solution of central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs. Just ask Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock. The war will prompt countries to reevaluate their currency dependencies. Even before the war, several governments were looking to play a more active role in digital currencies and define the regulatory frameworks under which they operate. This isn't merely a battle between nation-states or even competing power blocks. This is a battle being waged by every authoritarian power structure and every government, but I repeat myself, against their own citizens for control of the most important resource of all of them, their wallets. Yes, we're seeing the beginning of a truly world historical moment, the collapse of Pax Americana, the death of the dollar reserve system, and the beginning of an entirely new monetary paradigm, the central bank digital currency system of programmable money that will be able to algorithmically control when, how, and if you are allowed to transact in the economy at all. We only have to look to recent events in Canada to understand what this will look like. This perfect control of humanity, down to the level of being able to witness and ultimately to allow or disallow any transaction between any individuals at any time, represents the apotheosis of technocracy and one of the key objectives of the fifth generation war itself. As this nightmare comes closer and closer to reality, all seems hopeless. But then again, that's exactly the point.
The real war.
I could go on, and on, and on, and on, but hopefully you get the point by now. There is a world war happening right now. It is a fifth generation war, or whatever you want to call it. It is being waged across every domain simultaneously. It's a war for full spectrum dominance of every battlefield and every terrain, from the farthest reaches of the globe and beyond, to the inner spaces of your body, and even to your innermost thoughts. And it is a war on you. Recognizing this, the task we face seems nearly insurmountable. How are we to fight back in a war that the majority of people don't even recognize is taking place? How do we fight back against an enemy that has spent decades refining its weapons of economic and military and technological and biological control? How do we fight back in a war that is not taking place on two fronts or even three fronts, but in every domain and battle space simultaneously? Framed like this, our prospects do appear hopeless. But therein lies the key. Our perception that it is our duty to fight back against the enemy in their war, on their battlefield, on their terms of engagement, is itself a narrative frame. And that narrative itself is a weapon that is being wielded against us in the battle for our minds. You'll allow me the space here to quote myself at length, because this is a point I've made many times before, perhaps most notably in my conversation on The Anatomy of the New World Order that I had with Julian Charles on the Mind Renewed podcast 10 years ago. Well, I'm intrigued by the idea that we've been given false templates to follow in terms of solving our problems or of fighting enemies. And I think part of this false template that we've been provided through so much social conditioning and the media that we consume, etc., is this idea that we must find the heart of the organization, we must find the head of this organization, we must somehow kill that person or that group or whatever it is, eliminate that, and everything will magically turn to the better. And I think that that is a false template that we've been given, and one only has to think in broad terms at pretty much every science fiction dystopia you've ever seen. And in the end, if it turns out positively, it's only because they have managed to decapitate the head of the beast in whatever way it is, whether it be the Lord of the Rings or Tron or any of these types of movies or things that you can think of. The idea is you kill the head bad guy and everything turns magically into a peaceful utopia. And I think that that is fundamentally completely the wrong way to look at it, because
I don't think that at the end of the day that the particular individuals who may or may not be the ones holding the ultimate ring of power at this particular moment are irreplaceable. On the contrary, there are many, many people who would be so chomping at the bit to get into that position of power should that old guard be swept away for whatever reason. And I think it has to be something that is a more fundamental revolution, not of overthrowing a specific instantiation of this idea, but overthrowing the idea altogether. And that can only come, I think, from the building up of an alternative system to which people want to actually apply themselves, rather than attempting to simply have some wage some sort of heroic war that will solve everything once and for all. I think we have to actually just detach ourselves from this system that we've been woven into. And unfortunately, that's probably as difficult to do as that analogy would make it sound, because we are so woven into a fabric of society that it is difficult to imagine really extrapolating ourselves from all of these processes that rely for so many of our daily needs on these vast, overwhelming corporate infrastructures that tie into these various organizations that themselves pull the strings of various governmental institutions. It's such a vast and unwieldy system that it can seem quite overwhelming at times. How can a single individual affect this? But I think that we have to look for any and every possible point at which we can at least start to detach ourselves from those systems of controls, to start to try to reassert some sort of independence. And that can be an extremely small thing. Like, for example, instead of, I don't know, going out and buying your groceries at the grocery store, perhaps you can go and buy them at a farmer's market, or at least some of your groceries you can get at a farmer's market, or you can grow it yourself in a vegetable garden or something of that sort, is a tiny thing on the individual level. But I think it is the only thing that in the long run can lead to the type of society that we want to bring to fruition. I think, again, it's the small things like that to which, if we start to apply ourselves with diligence and with perseverance, that in the long run we'll be able to overthrow this. But unfortunately, as I say, we are on this cusp of this scientific revolution, which makes a scientific dictatorship possible. So unfortunately, we don't have necessarily generations of time in which to do this. So that puts a bit of a time perspective on this, a ticking, I don't want to say time bomb, but you get the idea, a certain time limit to the accomplishment of this, which means that we don't have a lot of time to waste in deciding which of these structures we want to give ourselves over to. Either we continue going into this technological structure that is part of this corporate matrix, which involves even such things as buying the next generation of iPhone, which they're already saying is going to have its own fingerprint scanning technology, and all of this corporate technological, industrial, defense, military, Big Brother, spy grid matrix to which we're signing on every single day of our lives willingly and knowingly and actually paying our money to buy into, or we start creating alternative structures which don't rely on that system. And it's a choice that we have to make in our lives, I would say, more quickly than has been apparent at any other time in human history.
My regular viewers will understand what I'm proposing here: the creation of a parallel society. We won't achieve this by asking for more scraps from the master's table, or by gently complying as we're herded into ever more constrictive technological pens, or by thinking that we can win this war by engaging the enemy in their controlled domain. We can only achieve this by creating our own table, our own economy, and our own communities of interest. This will require the long and difficult task of increasing our independence from the authoritarian systems in every domain: the information domain, the food domain, the health domain, the monetary domain, the mental domain, and every other contested battle space in this all-out fifth-generation war. Easier said than done, of course, but there is no alternative. Some will say, but won't they come after that parallel society? As if that's a rebuttal to what I've laid out here. The point is that you are already the target of the enemy in a war that most people but dimly understand is happening. Yes, the enemy will come after you, but they are already dominating you in more ways than any one person can fully understand. That doesn't stop just because you comply with their demands or take part in their system. We must stop playing their game. We must stop fighting their war. We must stop ceding our power, our authority, our time, our attention, our energy, and our resources to engaging the enemy in their terms on their battlefield. We must create our own parallel society on our own terms. And so we rediscover an old piece of wisdom. To paraphrase, fifth generation warfare is a strange game. The only winning move is not to play. War is over, if we want it.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back. We didn't quite get all the way through the clip that was intended. I wanted to give you the citation for posterity's sake and to give James Corbett credit. Your Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare, transcript and sources at corbettreport.com/fifthgen, which is an interesting custom URL, 5THGEN, all together. I would mostly agree. I would only add perhaps that the only winning move is actually to cry out to the Lord in Romans 10:9-10 fashion. That's the only real winning move. We are bumping up against, if not already in, Revelation 13 territory. If you know your enemies and you know yourself, you will not be imperiled in 100 battles. If you do not know your enemies nor yourself, you will be imperiled in every single battle. Sun Tzu. So we got another clip we got to play. I'm confident that Fred in Iowa would agree with me that the battle is 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 12. That's, speaking of the deception, that's where we're at. We are, this is the mother lode, the grand deception of all deceptions. So, speaking of the World Government Summit, we play the clip of Klaus Schwab in the first segment. Give you another example. This actually happened last year. Can we play that, please?
Your Excellency, are you ready for a new world order?
I think, Becky, the main problem is, if you think of the technology is 21st century, 22nd century technology. What is happening in AI, what is happening everywhere, really, that will really transform and is transforming our lives and also transforming international relations. But I think the frame of thinking is still 19th century. I think this is one of the problems that we have in the international system. If you look, we are still, it's still about nationalism, it's still about state sovereignty, it's still about use of force or non-use of force. And I think this is one of the major, major issues as we try to bridge really what is mentally, governing international relations with the 19th century mode of thinking, but at the same time with technology fast ahead of us on the curve. That, I think, will be a major problem.
That's a very interesting perspective. Fred Kemp, your assessment.
So my mentor on issues of world order is Henry Kissinger, so I'll try to channel him, and forgive me, Dr. Kissinger. But his answer would be, what do you mean no new world order? We have not had a world order yet. What we've had is we've had a Western order that was imposed on the world. And so the first world order in modern times, or somewhat modern times, was 4 centuries ago with the Treaty of Westphalia, ending a century of conflict, the 30 Years' War. And it wasn't a great moral thrust. It was just recognizing the world as it was. If you look at what we're trying to create right now, we're, I would say, at an inflection point in history as important as the end of World War I, where we got the effort at world order tragically wrong. We ended up with millions of dead, the Holocaust, in World War II. After World War II, we got more right than wrong with the creation of the International Liberal Order and the United Nations and the Bretton Woods system and the European Coal and Steel Community, NATO, etc. And then Soviet Union fell. And then the Cold War, we thought it was the end of history. And we thought that everyone could fit into this system that had been created, and it worked for a while, but not everybody came into it. But China grew. China certainly took full advantage of being part of the global system. Russia did not. Russia became more of an outlier. And I think where we are now, and this gets to your question, Becky, of a new world order, is it can go in two directions with the war in Ukraine now being a decisive element. Either the jungle is back, as the historian Bob Kagan talks, and that we can go into a darker era, or we could go into an era because of the advances of science, advances of technology, that could be one of the most prosperous, promising, progressive, enlightened, moderate, modern eras that we've ever faced. And I think we're in a moment where that's being decided, and I think the importance of the Ukraine issue is that it's a fulcrum for this, and how the world manages this and comes out of this is going to have far-reaching consequences that go beyond Ukraine.
That's a whole lot of bad guy speak. New world order, inflection point, fulcrum, oh my. Again, last year's World Government Summit. There's more, though. I'm inclined to think that these guys are serious and not hyperbolic when they say these crazy things. We are headed into a break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. We got to go super fast because we got a lot of ground to cover. So we got one more clip that we're going to cram in this first hour. Klaus Schwab at this year's World Government Summit reveals the five shocking pillars, the shocking five pillars of control. Do you want a peek at what's really going on? They're not bashful about it. Hat tip to I Am Coach Colin YouTube channel for putting this together. There's one point I disagree with. For academia is not the power of tools, it's the power of truth. You just can't understand Dr. Evil through that thick German accent. So without further ado, give this a listen. Go ahead, please.
Coach Colin here, coolest high-performance coach in the world. And if you want the absolute best insights to the podcasts and videos you love, hit that subscribe button. Let's go.
So there are some people who claim we are now in a deglobalizing world. But actually, I would say we have to re-globalize this world. We have to make sure that we strengthen cooperation because, as it was mentioned, we are faced with issues which are of existential importance for humankind. Our common future is at stake.
Move this man!
So what you're about to learn about today is the five pillars of control. And the only reason I found out about these pillars is because I decided to watch something that I don't agree with. So Klaus Schwab was speaking at the World Government Summit. This is not something that I actually, back, but I figured that I should start watching these things so I can really hear what these people are talking about. So I gave it a listen, and a room full of people that like what he has to say would just hear these things and they would just go, yeah, this makes sense. But when I heard it, a little alarm bell went off and I was like, I have to actually talk about this because this is something that's happening to us all the time. And you're going to see what I mean when you actually listen to the five pillars of control and learn what they are from Klaus Schwab's mouth himself. So I think it's going to be really beneficial. You don't want to be in an echo chamber. I never want to be inside an echo chamber. There's people who are going to disagree. I disagree with what he has to say, but I still gave it a listen and I learned a lot. So let's get into the five pillars of control right now. Starting number one.
Professor, a couple of weeks ago in Davos, you met almost all global leaders, government, private sector. What's your takeaway from the meeting this year?
I have seen participants enormously engaged in all the different task forces which we have organized, catalyzed, which we create. And I think if we look at the future, what is absolutely essential is this cooperation of the different stakeholders of global society. Governments bring the directive power.
The directive power, pillar number one. Now, we all know what governments do. We all know that they govern the people. They tell the people what to do. I would also say that government and law, or I would say the police force, they go hand in hand because the government kind of says, this is what everybody's going to do. Officers of the law kind of make sure that you all are doing that all the time. So we all knew that the WEF had a heavy hand in government. They have prime ministers, they have deputy prime ministers, former presidents, former vice presidents. Like, they have a whole bunch of government. So that's the first pillar of control. And I like how he calls it directive power because they direct the people. So And a big thing to note is that they don't just tell people, what to do. They pass laws. They create policy. And those laws and policy don't just tell you what to do. They actually set up a parameter of which you're only allowed to move within. That's the big thing. So if they need to box you in to a certain place, a certain space, or, restricting certain actions, they're able to do that. And by extension, Klaus is able to do that. Let's get into number two.
Business brings the innovative power.
So, number two, business, because of what he just said, the innovative power. Now, what would you think innovative power is? This is what I think innovative power is when he's talking about this. Your company decides that you're all going to work from home. That's like an innovative power. Apple decides that there is no longer going to be, and phone companies at large, decide that there is no longer going to be buttons on your phone. Years later, maybe they decide that the phones get much smaller. Maybe years later, they decide that it's just going to be glasses or contact lenses. Those type of innovations. Again, they kind of box you in. I'm sure if you're an older person, you can remember the day where you wanted a phone with buttons on it and they didn't have any options for you. And you're kind of just like, huh. And then because of that innovation, you got forced to buy a certain phone. Those are the types of innovations that are happening via business. Or even better, a certain company, when you search for your flights online, they start showing you your carbon emissions, right? Or a certain credit card company, decides that they're going to start giving you a carbon emission report on every single thing that you buy, right? Those little innovations are the things that kind of condition us in a certain way. Kind of works hand in hand with government when you think about it as well, because the government, again, the whole top-down mentality that the WEF has, they say something needs to happen, then the businesses start innovating in that way. So the policies and laws start boxing you in a certain way, and then when you think like, oh, this is too much, all of a sudden all the companies around you start setting up the exact same parameters. And that's how, in my mind, innovative power works. Let's get on to number three.
Civil society brings the concern power.
Number three, civil society. Now, when I heard this, I was like, oh, man, maybe they're trying to be like the Ark. They're including society? I'm like, that must mean the public. That must mean the masses. I was like, we're in. We're in, guys. He changed the new leaf. He's a good man now. But no, civil societies is actually much different than what I thought it was. The term civil society refers to a wide range of non-government, non-profit, and voluntary-driven organizations, as well as social movements. So, things that are civil societies, that would be like the World Health Organization, the WEF themselves. What else? BLM would be considered one. So the reason that he says that they're very important because they have concern power is because they raise concerns to the rest of us. They let us know what we should be concerned about, right? And it kind of goes hand in hand again from number one to number two to now number three. So we're telling you where you need to be with the directive power. I got my notes here. Then we're innovating in business to actually show you again, this is where you need to be within these parameters. And then the concern power steps in and says, you know, this is not just something that the government's doing and that businesses are innovating. This is something you need to be concerned about. There's a problem. There's disparity. There's people dying in the streets. There's this, there's that. You need to be concerned. Again, it goes from boxing you in legally to boxing you in via the technologies that are available to you and how those technologies are used, to boxing you in mentally in terms of what you need to be concerned about. You know, and whoever is not concerned, it's like, well, you know, you don't want to be one of those people that's not concerned about this. This is a real issue. You know, that type of thing. So I thought civil society was a really good thing, and it can be if used properly. But with what he has in mind and what we've seen over the past 3 years is those type of organizations and their concern power have actually led to a lot of fear mongering and, you know, mostly peaceful protests. Let's move on to number four.
Academia brings the power of truth.
Now, if you didn't understand what he said academia brings about the power of tools. And when I hear tools in academia, I think of, you know, the best tool that every single human being in the world has, which is our mind. And that, like that tool power, I would say that's the mind power, and not just the ability to persuade someone's mind. Let's even go a step further, the ability to influence someone's mind, right? Because if you do that via academia, or in other words, school, you can dictate the way somebody thinks by the time they get out of school. We've all seen what's been going on in the universities for like the past almost 10 years. And now we're seeing it in the elementary schools. There has been a bit of washing away everything that we all, the older generations, know to be right, to be true, and to be normal within the walls of a school. That's changed drastically for kids and young adults. So drastically. And that's the best way to change somebody's concern power, or sorry, influence someone's concern power. Because now you're looking at somebody and, you know, nobody wants to be uneducated. So, you know, somebody comes to you who you respect in the school, in the academia, and they say, you do understand why we're all concerned about this. You do understand that not knowing about these concerns is problematic. You don't want to be part of the problem, do you? You don't want to be one of those other people, you know? You get that whole mindset. Step further with academia. What else does academia touch on? Science. Reports. Studies. Things of that nature, right? So that is a huge tool in and of itself. If you're doing certain studies and you're kind of pushing those studies to show certain outcomes, that way the concern that's being raised by these organizations can be validated. Validated by science, validated by experts, right? And to me, all in all, I think that's why he has academia as one of the pillars of control. But let's move on to number five. And I think you won't be surprised at all at what number five is.
And maybe I should add media, which brings the critical dimension in this dialogue. And we need all those stakeholders to shape together the future.
Thank you.
So the last one, you could have guessed it, was the media. And what I like the most about that clip is every single other one that he mentioned had a power to it. You know, directive power, innovative power, concern power. But he didn't mention what power that the media had. Not at all. He didn't want to say that. But we all know what power the media has. It's a very strong influence on our minds, on children, teenagers, young adults, older people. The media influences the masses, right? And they do that very carefully. They can select words that they're going to say. They can select pieces of footage that they're going to show you, and they can work in unison and just show you this message over and over and over and over again. Hypnosis almost, right? And as you keep on hearing the same thing over and over again, the media has a funny thing of almost molding reality, right? Because even if you know something to be true, as the media keeps saying, let's say, the opposite of what you know to be true, well, now you'll walk around and you'll tell somebody and they'll be like, no, that's not what happened. And then they'll just say what the media said. And then you'll talk to a friend and they'll be like, no, that didn't happen. And then they'll just say what the media said. And then all of a sudden, it's like what you know to be true has disappeared. And it's just now what the media has told people. We've seen this time and time again. Extremely strong, arguably stronger than the government. Because when the government says something, they got to go to the media to actually get the word out. And the WEF, they're already known. I did a video about this. They have Idris Elba. They gave Idris Elba a Crystal Award for all his work. What work did he do? I have no idea.
Thank you to the World Economic Forum, Hilda. Thank you, Professor Klaus, for this honor. We are very privileged to be here and don't take it lightly.
But they have him, big actor. He even said when he was on a panel that he could talk to The Rock. And he could get the concerns of the WEF across to The Rock better than, you know, some public official. And then also, when I was going through the Young Global Leaders list, because that's what I like to do on my time off, I found Will.i.am. Even Will.i.am's there. And now who could he talk to? Well, he could talk to any major artist in the world, basically, right? Like, who doesn't what artist is not going to want to have a sit down with Will.i.am? And now he can raise certain concerns. So the media, very, very strong arm. And I just want to say, when it comes to all these things, we'll just recap quickly. Government, directive power. Business, innovative power. Civil society, concern power. Academia, the power of tools, the power of the mind, I will say. Mind power. And then media. You know, I I don't even know what power you would call media. I would just call media the almighty of the five, to be honest. Start watching and start seeing how all these five actually work hand in hand all the time. You will hear something from the directive powers. Then all of a sudden you'll see businesses start innovating towards that directive power. Then you'll see different groups, NGOs, start raising concerns about those same things that the first two are trying to kind of direct you towards. Then you'll see it in the schools. Then you'll see it in the media. And it will all happen all at once. It'll be like...
We'll have to pause it right there. We're going to head into a break. Yeah, we're headed into a break now. So stick around. Final segment of this hour coming up.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour. And you know, I've been talking about how crazy lately, you know, doing little bits on that. How crazy is, go look at the Wikipedia entry for Orwellian and see how almost non-existent it is. That is how crazy. And the entries that correlate with exactly what we're experiencing. What little is left of the Wikipedia entry for Orwellian. Let's go to the phones and grab, is it Hijacker in Washington?
Yeah, so Chris, can you hear me?
Good morning. Yep, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to blow your mind. I'm sure you know the voice, but here we go. We're going to talk about AI and electricity. So let's start off with basically Lucifer fell like heaven, like lightning to earth.
Jesus said, I saw him fall. Yep.
That's right. So it was like lightning. So we're talking about electricity. And then we got to talk about that he is the god of this world. That is in the Bible. Satan is the god of the world.
1 John 5:19. We know we are of God, and that the whole world is in the power of the evil one.
Wow. Wow, you're really good, Chris. I don't think you're that good. Daggone. So now we're getting to what connects everybody to us. And then we got into the Islam realm of the jinn, which are smokeless fire, which talk about electricity. So you see where I'm going on this.
I would part company on that last part. I think, you know, the enemy, he was in the crosshairs right up to that. That, I think, is
right.
A false.
Well,
what
I'm saying is that is that electricity is basically the conduit in which the evil one is able to move. I can keep going on. You talk about, you know, God is omnipresent and omnipotent. And so how can you get that? Take a look at Skype.
Well, the technology is a way for this shiny, flashy, fallen character to try to counterfeit God's character and nature. Those attributes of omniscience and omnipresence, for example. He's a good counterfeiter. He does that really exceptionally well.
Right, but what I'm saying is that basically, if you take a look at the world, what connects us all together, it is actually electricity, and that's what I'm saying.
You got a break? Yeah, we're that's the end of the first hour. There's some irony to this when we hear about cryptocurrency.
I got more, Chris.
When we hear about digital currency, what happens if somebody kicks the plug? Anyway, we're headed into the second hour. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
I'm Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly.
cows, too.
Ezoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.